Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your Yarn and Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, as BBM Bummer Bib Media 98.7 FM. We go via NERS National Radio Service. You can have your saber callers on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text the brother 045-714-0550 and our Facebook page as well, BBM 98.7 FM. You hope you're travelling well. I take knowledge, traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and to all our traditional owners across the Delhi country, I was welcome back to National Talk Black. Have your saying, yarn up strong. And yes, hope you are travelling well in the space that we're living at the moment, COVID-19. We are not out of the woods yet, so it's very important that we adhere to the rules that are in place. Slowly, restrictions are being lifted, but we cannot get laxy-daisy. Palaszczuk government's been strong in regarding keeping Queensland closed. A lot of people are upset and frustrated with that, but it's about leading from the front. Give us a call, tell us what your thoughts are in regarding movement by the Queensland government. But even where you are, your state, your territory, how you're travelling, restrictions have lifted. Is there light at the end of the tunnel? Either way, there's no virus, no vaccine for this virus, so we still need to abide by the rules and cannot be laxy-daisy. Don't forget the Australian Government National COVID-19 helpline number, 1-800-020-080. Number again, Australian Government National COVID-19 helpline number, 1-800-020-080. Have your saying, yarn up strong. Keep our conversation rolling, you mob. Yarn up strong here on National Talk Black with Trendy Trev. 1-800-422-416.
Reach out and touch the one you love. Reach out and touch the one you love. To lose your heart could tear you apart. Reach out and touch the one you love. Reach out and touch another's hand. She'll open up and understand. Don't hesitate, her love won't wait. Reach out and touch another's hand. Oh, what a beautiful night in the world it is for love. Oh, if you love her, hold her tight. By your side in the pale moonlight every night. Reach out and show her that you care. And show her that you care. Reach out and touch the one you love.
Reach out and touch the one you love.
Don't hesitate, her love won't wait. Reach out and touch the one you love.
Reach out and touch the one you love.
If she's the one that you've been dreaming of,
I'm the one.
shines down on sacred ground. Tribal men are gathering round that firelight to dance in the moonlight. Singing and dancing, clapping sticks and boomerangs to the didgeridoo sound. Stomping their feet on stomping ground. Corroboree dance through the night. Corroboree dance in the moonlight. Corroboree dance around the firelight. Corroboree dance in the moonlight. Corroboree dance around the firelight. Corroboree dance in the moonlight. Corroboree dance around the firelight. Corroboree dance in the moonlight. Corroboree dance around the firelight. Corroboree dance in the moonlight. Corroboree dance around the firelight. Corroboree dance in the moonlight. Corroboree dance around the firelight. Corroboree dance in the moonlight. Corroboree dance around the firelight. Corroboree dance in the moonlight. Corroboree dance right through the
what get on your mob? It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, a very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim Trinity, Trev Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, you know, at BBM Bummerbrit Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Yes, we are living in a different world at the moment, COVID-19, and it's about adapting to the space that we're living in. We're going to catch up a yarn with Professor Jayashree Kulkarni, psychiatrist from Monash University, and just talk about mental health and suicide modelling on the line. A very good morning, Professor. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you very much for having me on your show.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. And look, a very important space that you're working in. And when we talk about COVID-19 and a different world, upside down, normality is going out the window, so to speak. Four walls are closing in. And it could affect, it is affecting a lot of people regarding the mental health. So tell us your thoughts regarding mental health and suicide modelling.
Yeah, so, you know, we're seeing a lot of impacts on mental health, and the first lot was quite a panic response when it became clear that there was this particular very virulent virus that was creating all sorts of horrible scenarios, including deaths overseas. And so we went into panic mode, and there was high levels of anxiety, high levels of concern in the whole community. That day settled, and certainly people were very good at dealing with restrictions, although some people, you know, we didn't deal with it as well, particularly those who have some history of claustrophobia. Mm. And so, as you said, the four walls closing in syndrome was a bit difficult for some. But then mostly people managed to get their heads around it and work out ingenious ways of how to use various technology to keep in touch with family and friends. So now what we're looking at is an easing of restrictions, and that's good, but it creates a whole other level of concerns about how people are going to go back to work and back to school and do things, still with the fear of the infection out there. The other thing that's been discussed, though, is that in all of this horrible pandemic, that the economy takes a beating.
Yes.
And this has been one of the concerns that people have talked about variously, from Australia is going to go into a major economic depression, a recession, you know, there'll be huge job losses and all sorts of things. Now, we don't know yet what's going to happen, but there are predictions about the economy not being as robust as beforehand.
And that puts a lot of more strain on the on people regarding the mental sense, yes?
Yes. And so this is what's being discussed, is what is all of that going to do to people's mental health? And this is where the modelling discussion comes into it, because we know that mental health is big, it's complicated, it's really impacted by all sorts of things, including the economic world, including you know, housing, including a sense of possession of the land that you live on, a sense of being respected, having power, your own, in fact, background of abuse, trauma, and all sorts of things, as well as biology. There are different types of chemicals in the brain that people who have that structure are more vulnerable to becoming depressed or anxious. So, you know, when we talk about mental health, it's huge. It's complicated. So one of the things that this modelling...
Well, a case of pandemic in the sense of mental health across the nation, if that's the case, if not globe.
There's been a discussion that there's a pandemic of mental health, and particularly a pandemic of suicide, which is really frightening. And when I look at the way that that has been calculated, it's a bit fraught, because what happens is you can ask people how they feel. You can ask them, you can use a rating scale about, do they think about suicide? And that's called suicidal ideation, ideas. But there's a long way between having an idea of feeling particularly bad and thinking, oh, you know, my life isn't worth it, from that thought to then having a plan of action to then committing suicide. And I'm sorry to upset your viewers by this discussion, but there's a long thought and process that goes into that. And this is where the clinicians like us play, in that if we can get in and help somebody at the early stage, then they may not develop a plan. And if we take it a bit further, they may not develop a strategy, and the completed issues may not go ahead.
So people talk about, don't really want to talk about the word, S word, when we're talking about suicide, but it's probably important to have the conversation with your friends and your family if you see signs. Is that right?
It is important to talk to people openly, frankly, about, look, you said you're feeling really bad. How bad do you feel? Do you feel so bad that you think it's just not worth it? Because if you get a yes to that, then you need to do something. And there's a lot of different resources out there in the community. Lifeline's a great resource. There are other acute emergency type places people can go to get some help. So I think that if we start to panic everybody by going, oh, there's going to be a pandemic of depression and a pandemic of suicide, you know, there's some weird speculations that there's going to be a 25 to 50% increase in suicide.
Because of the fact that we're talking about it.
And I just think, though, that that's a problem, because, you know, there's a long gap between suicidal thinking and suicidal action.
Yes.
And we can't model that accurately. Like, you can model an infection, you can model heart disease, you can model the things that are tangible much more effectively. But this is something that, even with the best mathematicians on it, you're still dealing with the vague underpinning of what makes somebody depressed and what makes somebody think about suicide and what makes somebody go to action. Now, I'm not saying that we just write it all off and don't worry about it. Of course not. No. We have to worry about it. And as you said, what's really critical is that family and friends and clinicians and health professionals are able to have a discussion, a serious, open, frank discussion about how bad are you feeling, and not shy away from asking the hard questions, and then following it up with some sensible actions.
Sure. So it is, well, that's a medicine, having conversations with your family and friends in that situation.
It's very therapeutic. And again, having somebody listen, but listen sympathetically. It's not good if somebody's opening up their heart and then they're met with, don't be a wuss, or something very derogatory. That's not going to be helpful.
No.
It's an open listening scenario and a caring listening scenario that we really look for, because that is therapeutic in so many different ways.
Yeah. So act in regards to the, well, I always say with two ears, one mouth, using that order, have a pair, being a pair of ears for somebody, you know.
That's fantastic. That's a great saying. I love it.
Well, you can use that three times, mention my name, fourth time you can have that, Professor. Look, a very important conversation, and thank you very much for sharing. And, yeah, we are living in a different world. Just need to have our eyes and ears open in regard to our family and friends around us. We are still talking 1.5 metres away from each other, but you can observe and converse and just massage the mind of your family and friends, so to speak, yeah?
Yes, absolutely.
Good talking with you. Thank you so very much. All the best to you. You stay safe, and we'll talk soon.
Same to you. Thanks, Trevor.
Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn there with Professor Jayarshi Kulkarni, a psychiatrist, and from Monash University, and the conversation was mental health and suicide modelling. So it's about looking out for your family and friends, and if you're seeing signs, have that conversation. Start with that. That is a good medicine, and then directing them to support and help. And this is your daily program. You can use this as a instigator of opening up the conversation. 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the Bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trevor Murray from Nakari for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns as BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go via NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say, your mob, 1-800-422-416.
At the walk along through the on a hot and sunny day. It's a long way home. We gotta be there to spend the night together as the evening light fades away and the moonlight comes. I left to walk another mile to reach the water. You got to think of the seasons, there'll be rain. Way out west in a land far away. Way out west in a land far away.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Yeah, lock that number in your phone, your mob, 1-800-422-416, number of your daily program, National Talk Black. We're live here from the First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM, Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation, thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. So you can have your say by calling us on that number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text the brother 045-714-0550. And our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. Now, we're talking about restriction regarding Queensland and even across the state, but border restrictions New Zealand set to open for New South Wales, Victorian tourists before Queensland. So there's a little of discussion going on there and a bit of angst about the situation, but the Morrison government said it would not allow border bans to create an obstacle for flights to and from New Zealand. And tourism centres of New South Wales and Victoria may be open to travellers from New Zealand before visiting from Queensland at the federal government steps up talks to create a travel bubble, is what they're calling it, across the Tasman. In a new warning to Queensland Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk, the Morrison government said it would not allow state border bans to create an obstacle to allowing flights to and from New Zealand. And the comments raised the possibility that Australians from southern states could ski in New Zealand before they surf in Queensland if Ms. Palaszczuk keeps her state border controls in place as late as September, costing her state billions of dollars in lost tourism business as such. So it's a bit of a juggling act as such, and it looks like the Premier of Queensland, Anastasia Palaszczuk, is sticking to her guns in regarding keeping the state, her state, safe in regard to the COVID-19. Some people, especially in tourism, upset and frustrated with that in regards to the effect that it's having on their industry as such in regarding jobs and the amount of money that's lost thanks to COVID-19. Best be safe than sorry is what Palaszczuk government is saying, the Queensland State Premier. She's saying that, rather be safe than sorry, and there could be a second wave as well in regard to that. And New Zealand are ready for business, so to speak. But we had the Prime Minister, Jacinta Ardern, who was rattled live on television during a 5.8 magnitude earthquake in Wellington. And the strong Monday morning earthquake was centred 30 kilometres northwest of Levin, a town around an hour's drive north of New Zealand capital. It was most felt mostly sharply around the southern Taranaki Bight and the closest major city, Wellington, some 100 kilometres south. So Mother Earth is talking to us in many ways, as well as the virus that's talking to us globally. So a different world we are living in. But stay safe, you mob, and add to the conversation here on your daily program, National Talk Break. Tell us how you're travelling in regard to the COVID-19. You mob in Queensland, do you feel that the Premier should open up the state and get normality back into our lives, or just keep running with the safety precautions? Have you saying yarn up strong? Add to the conversation, mob, 1-800-422-416.
Pearly shells from the ocean shining in the sun.
My heart tells me that I love you more than all those little pearly shells.
For every grain of sand upon the beach, I have a kiss for you. And I have more left over for the stars that twinkle in the blue. That I love you more than all those little pearly shells. For every grain of sand upon the beach, I have a kiss for you.
Yeah, Pearly Shells, Uncle Sim and Dan here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, your mob, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Call the number, yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, as BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and go across the nation. Thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yes, we are living in a different world at the moment. COVID-19, adhere to the rules that are in place. There's no vaccine for the virus. So we need to flatten out the curve, so to speak, and we're doing our bits and doing very well, Australia, but we shouldn't get too complacent with restrictions being lifted. We are going to catch up now with Jan with Dr. Catherine Daly as a lecturer in the School of Global, Urban and Social Studies. She's an expert in public policy and social affairs. And look, the topic we're talking here is mental health plan and at-risk youth during the pandemic. And it's causing a lot of angst with a lot of people regarding COVID-19, but we'll catch up with Jan with Dr. Catherine Daly on the line. Dr. Catherine, good morning. How are you?
Good, thanks, Trevor. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Yes, we are living in a different world at the moment, affecting different people in different ways, but the mental side of things as well is causing a lot of dramas as well, yes?
Yeah, definitely, and we expect that to continue on well past the current situation.
Mm. So National Coronavirus Mental Health Plan, we've got a plan in place?
Yes and no. So there's workings on it, and there's been some forecasting done by various mental health organisations around the issue. Mm. And last week the government did announce some money towards it. So there's a loose plan, like there's a bit of money and some of that money's been allocated to different groups. But how, you know, what that's going to look like is yet to be determined.
Okay, and so with the money at the table, money's a tool, fantastic to have the money at the table, but the plan forward is still at in draft mode, is that right?
Yeah, pretty much. So there's, you know, we've kind of said these groups of people can have this amount of money, but what they're going to do with it and when that's going to work and if that's going to be enough is still unfolding.
All right, and so vulnerable youth hit hard during COVID-19. That is the case with COVID-19 upon us?
Yeah, so young people we think are going to be particularly, you know, hard hit by this because youth mental health issues are already an issue, but because they're going to bear the brunt of unemployment, you know, so youth unemployment's already at 30%. Because young people, it's harder for them to get into the workforce and they tend to go into, you know, hospitality and retail, which is currently sort of not operating.
That's right.
And so because of that, and, you know, even if they're currently at uni, when they graduate, graduate jobs are going to be really hard to find, you know, because there's going to be less jobs around. So we expect youth to be really hard hit by, you know, unemployment and intern mental health issues for several years to come.
And when you're talking about no light at the end of the tunnel and outside the norm and routines are broken, it causes or panic, and it causes focus of hurt, and mentally you cannot see the future, and you panic, you could say.
Yeah, and it's really, it's really hard, because normally that's a time in your life where you should be really excited. There should be so much ahead of you to, yes, look forward to. And when they've got this really bleak outcome, and, maybe they're still living at home and things are really tough at home, maybe their mum and dad have, lost their jobs, and, so that they're actually living in stress in all aspects of their life.
Doom and gloom, so to speak.
Yeah, pretty much.
But there is light at the tunnel in regard to, take control of your mind, your thoughts and what have you, and what ideas can you put to the table in regarding massaging that thought process?
Yeah, so one of the, great things that young people have going for them is that they are really resilient and really, hopeful and adaptable, and, they diversify, for this. So, students at, universities and TAFEs have, just suddenly all become online learners because face-to-face classes were cancelled. And, they've kind of done this without, kicking up a fuss. That, that young people just adapt and make the most out of
the situation.
Situations. They're also more connected online. So, if counselling becomes available online, they're going to be more able to use it than, previous generations who are, less used to being online.
And the positive side of it, there are people out there, young people out there, who've got a very, we've all got the entrepreneurial school, so to speak, but it's about looking outside the square. I mean, people are creating jobs, if not business opportunities for themselves, and the future does look bright thanks to COVID-19.
Yeah, and young people tend to be less fussy around things. They're less resistant to changing their employment status. So, they might be in one industry. There's less sort of reluctance to go into a different industry if that's where the jobs are. Whereas if you've been working in one industry for 50 years, it's a lot harder to just go, I'm going to change careers now.
But sometimes there's been descriptions of the mental capacity, your mind is like in a prison, so to speak, and like you said, you can't see light in the tunnel, so frustration kicks in.
Yeah, and not all young people have the same opportunities as others. So for some people there is quite a bright light at the end of the tunnel and there is going to be opportunities, and for others they're in situations where there's less available to them, and so they're not all going to be affected equally.
So the message we can put across the table, Dr. Catherine, is reach out, have a talk, chat to somebody. There is support and there's help there, and we are all in this together is a phrase that they're using at the moment.
Yeah, definitely.
Fantastic space we're talking about. I want to thank you very much for coming to the table, Doctor. Look, all the best to you and your team. And look, you stay safe, your family, and we will get out of this. There is a light at the tunnel, isn't there?
Yes, there is. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Bye. You take care. Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn there with Dr. Catherine Daly, her name is, and look, lecturer in the School of Global, Urban and Social Studies. She's an expert in public policy and social affairs. And our chat there was about mental health plan and at-risk youth during the pandemic. And there's a total of $48 million package. His first step in attending to the immediate and ongoing mental health crisis associated with COVID-19. However, only $29.5 million is going to direct services, which will only begin to address the problem forecast by the National Mental Health Commission. So it's only scratch on the surface, but working towards in fixing that dilemma we have in regarding COVID-19 and the mental space. Have you say, your mob, it's 11:40 in sunny North Queensland, 20 minutes ago here on the National Talk Radio program. Have you say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. And you can use that same number for your local mob here in Cairns. Stay put, because Trinity Travel will take you right through to 1 p.m. with the special COVID-19 program. And look, while we've got the National Talk program happening, give us a call, tell us how you're traveling in regards to this space here to Delhi Mob.
For old time's sake, let me see you again. Let me hold you in my arms like I did back then. Old time's sake, let me whisper in your ear. Let
let's do it all again for old time's sake. The good times we had, the love that we shared would last forever. Your face in memory hasn't changed to me, you're still the same. For old time's sake, let me see you again. Let me hold you in my arms like I did back then.
Yeah, for old time's sake, Lyndon Reed here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, your mob, 1-800-422-416. We're going to catch up over yarn. We've got Harrison online, I believe, from Yuri. Harrison. Not even. Harrison, give me a call back, brother. Had a call there from Harrison. Lost him there. We'll try and get him back and see what he's got to say here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Like I said, tell us how you're travelling, your mob, in COVID-19. Upbeat about it all? Is light at the end of the tunnel? Are you back at work? Kids are back at school? Tell us what's happening in your community or in your household or with your organisation. How you going regarding work? You back at work? Or which way? If you're back at work, land there, you mob. Too deadly.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now at 1-800-422-416.
Here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, your mob, 1-800-422-416, and tell us how you're traveling COVID-19. We are living a different world at the moment. It's about being flexible, being adapting to what's put in front of us, and we will come out of this. And people are saying, keep restrictions on strong, because I'd rather wait 2 months and 2 years. And people say, no, let's get back to normality. Let's have life. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Double J, that's Jack Jans on the line, and talk to that deadly brother. A very good morning, my brother. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good.
Good.
How are you?
I'm good. Good to hear your voice, brother. Let the mob know who you mob. Where are you from, Jack?
From Western Cape, off Cape York Peninsula, obviously. Chunganji and Tepetiki from Mapoon, and Wangi from the Gulf. So, and I'm living in Cairns these days.
Living in Cairns, beautiful. And a bit of a bite at the moment. Kyle woke up this morning fighting family for blankets, brother.
very cold. I think last time I spoke to you, I had a cold, and now I've got hay fever because of the...
Oh, knock off. You stay on that side of the phone. You stay on that side of the phone, brother.
Oh, I know. It never ends.
Never ends. Now, listen, we as First Nation people, I'm hearing reports with our mob in communities, and you work in the space of Cape York, do a lot of stuff up there. Different rule, one rule for one, different rule for another. In regards to restriction and what have you, some of them might be getting frustrated in the situation. Tell us your thoughts there, brother.
Well, I think as many of the listeners, and you'd know, I think the whole of Cairns probably knows this now, the story had been put out that there was a funeral held not so long ago in Mapoon on the Western Cape, and the story that's being put out there is that there were 250 attendees at the funeral. And, of course, that's caused, you know, in the Cairns Post and other, I think, even the Courier Mail and, you know, that sort of News Corp media had then obviously chastised the community.
How long ago was this, Jack?
Last week from memory.
Okay.
But then it is Monday, so...
Sure, exactly, you know. And has media jumped on? Has authority questioned the attendance and regarding 200 people at a funeral in COVID-19?
From my understanding, there's been no official, you know, in terms of from the police or anything like that having occurred, which was why there had been those calls from, you know, the Cairns community and, you know, from the media to sort of to go on to that. I've heard conflicting reports. I've heard from family and friends from up in, you know, on the Western Cape who were saying that there were exemptions allocated. Obviously, when you're at an outdoor setting, such as at a cemetery, you can practice social distancing. 250 people...
Makes it hard for 1.5 meters.
It does. Mm. It does make it hard, but, you know, we've... And don't get me wrong, and I think I did say this too as well to a lot of people in the Cairns area, especially who were concerned about that gathering, and I had said, you know, and I don't condone the breaking any of the COVID measures that we have in place.
Yes.
However, we've got to remember that the communities up in Cape York Peninsula had been closed off very early on in the piece because they are part of a biosecurity zone up there. And not only was the region closed off from a police blockade, but so too were the individual communities. So it wasn't as though the whole of Cape York got to come and go as they pleased throughout the lockdown. Even from Mapoon to Napa and Weeper, which is a very small you know, distance between the three, there was not that kind of coming in and out, even like some people would expect. So you've got to look at these small communities, you know, around 300 people, I think Mapoon has, 250 people at a funeral of a very, you know, beloved and prominent person of the community. These are people who had been in isolation for the better part of 2 months, with no internal or extra. We didn't have any problems such as with the Northern Territory, you know, because of their being under the intervention, the quarantine rules for external staff flying in didn't apply, whereas in Cape York they did, and a lot of community organisations like health ones like Apuna Pima and whatnot had grounded their employees as well. So there wasn't a lot of coming and going. The whole idea of it being...
So that shows protection to the Cape in regard to no traffic in and out, you know?
It shows a lot of protection. It shows that the community were active for the last 2 months. It shows that the, you know, the government and other organisations that assist those communities were very active and you know, careful. And we've got these people who are living up there, quarantined, better than anybody else could. So being chastised, I feel, for having that congregation at a funeral from a number of people in a community that has been so quarantined, so free of COVID, I just find it to then attack them for having done that, having gotten together in an outdoor setting, especially now in the piece. So, you know, we are past the major first wave. It's debatable whether we'll get a second wave. We're told to expect one, but obviously time will tell. I just feel that it was not the right time. It was certainly not the right way to go about turning on the people of Cape York, especially at this time, when all these measures had been put in place for their safety. You just sort of sit there and say, well, if they can't get together, if one community can't get together for a funeral, in a community where they are quarantined, especially when the rest of the state is being called to open up and everyone else can travel 150 kilometres.
Exactly.
Certainly congregation in shopping centres is not being policed, you know, in the larger towns. I just find it a real double standard there between what the media and the rest of society says that white Australia can do and what white Australia should achieve to aspire to achieve now that we're leaving the whole lockdown period and entering into economic recovery. But yet you look up in Cape York and people who are even safer and more COVID-free, if that's possible, than places that are COVID-free, to then be chastised and belittled for practicing their culture.
Yeah, because we are talking about rules and regulations, yes, but we're also talking about culture. And then we're also talking about geography in regard to where people are operating from. And when you're talking about the Cape, there's virtually, you could say, remote. It is remote in a lot of ways, and it's been closed off. Then there's a different, set of rules that should be on the table, is what you're saying.
Exactly. I mean, I'm not a COVID-19 pandemic expert. I'm not a health worker.
No.
However, I would just, especially now with a lot of the changes that have taken place where certain freedoms we had as members of society were taken away, which was fine and fair enough because it was for the better good, but they had a place in a practical, they were things that we could see needed to happen at the time. And we went, okay, as responsible members of society, we will agree to forego getting together and we will stay home. However, now that we're moving out of that phase, they're calling to open the states up, people are calling for people to come back and visit to bring things, the economy back up.
Yes.
I just find it, what was the point then of their quarantine and their isolation during this whole period if the community can't congregate in a safe way? I just find that the risk, I think the practicality of chastising them for having gotten together for a funeral, I find it's not a practical approach. And I just think that, where is the risk factor really?
And like I said, we are all walking in a dark tunnel. This is globally and has turned the world upside down regarding the economy, regarding a job, regarding life itself. And, we need to respect that and keep safe. But there's been no cases in the Cape, and that's a good thing. So, like I said, it's a different space that the people are living in.
Exactly. It's a different space. I mean, we're calling for the national approach now to be amended state by state. So different states are staying closed, different states are opening. So the idea of looking at what we've actually got at our immediate sort of demographic and geography is being used now to implement new measures around the COVID and especially the economic recovery. You know, the thing with the economic situation we're in, one of the main industries that constantly drives ahead, even in times of recession, that countries tend to rely on is mining. And in Australia, a lot of that mining takes place on Indigenous land, especially in Queensland, especially up in Cape York, and especially on the Western Cape, where Marpoon is and where my family lives. And that's billions of dollars that these are jobs that are still going ahead. We're still tilling the land and whatnot, and extracting resources from Indigenous land, which is floating the rest of the economy. And then this is the way that members of government and members of the society turn around and treat Aboriginal people who have been so good at maintaining so many of the quarantine endeavours and allowing for these economic activities on their homelands to occur to help the rest of the country in terms of its economy. I just think it's really...
Sure.
I don't think it was a necessary attack on them. And, you've got... You look at Cairns and Queensland and TTNQ and Tourism Events Queensland calling to reopen the borders, calling for domestic tourism to come back and all of that. Meanwhile, at the same time, Indigenous people up in Cape York, they have to still live like we're in the dark ages of the plague. Meanwhile, the rest of the state can open up and have coffee and go down to the Rusty's markets and whatnot here in Cairns. But then you've got events like the Cairns Indigenous Art Fair, an Indigenous-run event. You know, you've got Indigenous Chair of the Board, Indigenous Artistic Director, and Indigenous Business Manager, Naren Darrell, who's now taken up the role. So you've got these Indigenous-run events promoting Indigenous art and culture to Queensland in a time of economic uncertainty, and of course this pandemic that's going on. And I just, you know, I think that the credit needs to be passed on a little bit more to the Indigenous sector across all different fields and different industries, because it's us. It's the mining taking place on Indigenous land that's pushing ahead, even though we're probably going to go towards a recession. In terms of trying to start up tourism and stimulating the economy, you've got events like the Cairns Indigenous Art Fair that have changed their platform to be accessible during the COVID-19 measures.
Yes.
To promote Indigenous works, which of course are going to have, you know, a lot of the work that Indigenous people do in this country.
Exactly.
All industries. It helps us.
It does. It really employment and what have you, promotion of art and everything. My brother, yeah. I'll have to go to another caller, but thank you, Jack. Sure. We'll be in touch, my brother.
Great. Thank you so much for the time. See you. You guys stay safe.
Thank you, brother. Jack Jans there, calling from Cairns, but works strong up in the Cape, and just talking about the situation regarding Cape York and regarding COVID-19 and geography, remote. There should be probably different rules in regards to how they're operating. There was an uproar about 200 people attending a funeral up there in the Cape in the last 10 odd days, and it was still under the restrictions of what's in place at the moment thanks to COVID-19, but and they get a lot of flack because of that, but it should be opening up to different geography, different places in regard to the rules that are set in place. So breaking news, we've got some stuff happening over at Yarraba in regard to a protest, and I believe we've got a caller on the line who's going to jump on and have his say. I believe we've got Harrison on the line. Harrison, you there? Hello.
Yeah.
Harrison, you're calling from Yarraba?
Yeah.
Brother, yeah, we've got a couple of minutes and we're going to go to a local program. But tell us what's happening in Yarraba, brother. Tell us what's happening.
Rock at Yarraba.
Yep. Continue. How many people there, brother?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? How many people there in the protest?
About 200 people.
Yep. So you're up on the mountain or you in the community, brother?
Yeah, we lose the cut here.
Yep. You feel as though restrictions should be lifted?
Yeah.
Is it Yep. Is it a peaceful movement? You there, brother? Yeah, no, I'm losing Harrison there. We'll try and get him back online. That's Harrison. He's a brother there calling from Yarraba. There's a protest going on regarding the restriction, COVID-19. They feel that it should be lifted and people should be able to leave Yarraba, come to Cairns, for example, do their shopping and what have you. And the Yarraba is still closed down. I'll just see if I got him again there. See if he's there. You there, Harrison? You there, Harrison?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, brother.
Oh,
you're with Bob Catter?
I'll try to get it for you.
Yeah, no, we're about to close off here, my brother. We've got the news coming up, bro. Yep.
Oh, yeah, mate, can you ring me on my mobile, please?
Yeah, okay.
0429 001 255. I'm just driving back into Cairns with Bushy. So please give me a ring in about 10 minutes' time, please.
Okay, sorry, yeah, your number again, please.
Say that again.
Your number again, please.
The number's 0429 001 255.
Lovely. We'll call you back 10 minutes. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. We'll go to news, you mob. Stay tuned. BBM 98.7 FM.